There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Crime Weekly News. I'm Derek Levasseur.
And I'm Stephanie Harlow.
And we're going to be talking about something that everyone's talking about right now. I had weighed in on Twitter over the weekend. We wanted to cover it on Crime Weekly News because we know it's something that all of you are going to be talking about. So if you haven't heard yet, in a dramatic turn, 30-year-old criminology student Brian Koberger, you may have heard of that name before, has pleaded guilty to the November 13th, 2022 murders of four University of Idaho students. The guilty plea entered on July 2nd, 2025, ends his scheduled August trial and spares him from facing the death penalty. Oh, we're going to talk about that. I have a lot to say. So instead, he is set to receive four consecutive life sentences plus 10 years for the related burglary charge, and he has waived his rights to any appeal. There's a lot more details to this. I think 99.9% of you already know this case. We've covered it. Everyone and their brother has covered it. So I don't think there's a lot of details about the case, but maybe we give a quick rundown and then we talk about where this goes from here and what we think about this decision.
Yeah, there's a lot about this case, obviously, that I hate. There's a lot about this plea deal that I hate. So let's talk about it. Let me give a quick sort of rundown of what happened. The victims involved were 21-year-old Kaylee Gonsalves from Rathdrum, Idaho, 21-year-old Madison Mogan from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, 20-year-old Zanna Kernodle from Avondale, Arizona, and Zanna's boyfriend, 20-year-old Ethan Chapin from Conway, Washington. There was also two roommates, women in the same house that were unharmed, although one encountered a masked intruder while hiding during the attack. In the early hours of November 13th, 2022, at approximately between 4 and 4:25 a.m., four students we just talked about, Kaylee, Maddie, Zanna, and Ethan, were fatally stabbed in their off-campus home at 1122 King Road in Moscow, Idaho. The victims were discovered later that morning with fatal wounds to the chest and upper body. Some had defensive wounds, which indicated a struggle. Now, the two surviving roommates on the ground floor did hear disturbing noises. One reportedly saw a masked figure exiting through a sliding door, describing him as a male stranger wearing black. The investigation was extensive. Surveillance footage captured a white Honda Elantra circling the neighborhood. Phone records and genetic genealogy led authorities to Brian Koberger, whose DNA matched material found on a knife sheath at the crime scene. His cell phone had also pinged nearby repeatedly, including around 9 a.m. on the morning of the murders. On December 30th, 2022, Brian Koberger was arrested in Pennsylvania. He was extradited to Idaho, charged with four counts of first-degree murder and burglary. And then, you know, for the next 2 years, this guy ran us all around, just trying anything. Yep. His defense team just tried anything to raise reasonable doubt, to get things thrown out, to just, you know, drag this on for as long as possible because he's a psychopath and an asshole. So after initially pleading not guilty, Koberger entered a guilty plea on July 2nd, 2025 as part of a deal to avoid the death penalty. He admitted to the murders and burglary, and like Derek said, will receive four consecutive life sentences without parole. Sentencing is set for July 23rd. Now, here's the thing. Although we've kind of figured out a few things from this plea, what we do not know is that it is Koberger's motive, basically. That has not been established.
And by the way, not required by the plea deal.
It's not required by the plea deal.
Ridiculous.
Which I don't understand why. That's what's frustrating to me about the plea deal. That is exactly what's frustrating to me about the plea deal, because I can't figure out why they wouldn't ask him to tell that, I guess. You know, why they wouldn't require that.
Unless there's some technicality that's above my pay grade that I'm not aware of, I think with a plea deal, you can ask for anything you want. The person in the case doesn't have to accept it, but the plea, it's a deal. You can negotiate. So unless there's something that says you can't require them or ask them to tell why they did this, why wouldn't you put that in there? And why wouldn't you say, oh no, you dragged us around for a couple of years. If you want this, if you don't want to be put to death, you're going to tell us why you did it.
I honestly can't figure it out. And I think if it had gone to trial, he obviously would have been found guilty.
He would have been smoked. No
yeah,
shot.
Yeah, and he would have gotten the death penalty. So it wasn't like he had a ton of, leverage to bargain with, I guess, is what I'm, was what I'm thinking. So why would they not make that a requirement? I don't know. But they didn't. So what did we kind of figure out? Well, when he was asked to, you know, plead guilty, we heard that Brian Koberger responded, you know, very flatly, like no emotion. He responded in like, yes, no, very curt, very short. And he calmly affirmed that he had entered the house with murder in mind. He had stabbed each student and committed burglary. Like I said, in very, very underwhelmingly mechanical detail. Obviously, the murder weapon is still missing. The sheath was recovered. The actual K-bar knife was never found.
Yep, should have required him to tell you where that was as well.
No known connection or motive. And I just, I can't figure out why he would do this. Now, there are people coming out, like experts in the field, who are saying, well, this could be his motive. This could be his motive. But of course, we may never know. And we may never figure that out. He's never going to tell us if he doesn't have to, in my opinion. It's kind of a trophy for him. Somebody like this who's very, wants to very much be in control, wants to remain in the shroud of mystery. I don't think that he will ever, ever tell us, because it'll be his thing, like a serial killer's trophy, his thing that he holds that only he knows, and he can like dangle in front of people and keep that from the family. It's his way of continuing to torture people.
So there's a few things I want to talk about. First off, we'll start with the positive side to this. I'm glad that the investigators did such a great job on this one, because if they hadn't caught him, if he had gotten away with this, I personally believe this would have been the first of many. This was his first attempt at trying to carry out the perfect murder. This guy was cocky, and he felt like he was smarter than police, and he thought with his criminology background that he would be able to cover all his bases and get away with this murder and basically watch it from afar as all of these families mourned their loved ones, and he didn't. He made multiple mistakes, and fortunately with science and technology being as good as it is today, we were able to catch this ass clown. And it was due to a variety of things. And that is some information that has come out now that the trial is not going to take place. And we've had some vague details on it, but essentially what we're finding out now because this trial is now not going to happen is that the target of this murder originally was Kaylee. Okay. So he went there to kill Kaylee, and I don't know the details of how he knew she was on the third floor, but he skipped the second floor, which had two people on it, and even more than that, one other person on it, and went right to the third floor. And his target was Kaylee. There's no doubt about it. And we don't know all the specifics, but we have heard from the victims' families and from what they're telling us, this was a brutal murder. It was even worse than we originally thought. He beat Kaylee to death. Also, he was stabbing her, but he was pounding her in the head multiple times. And there's evidence to support that, where he was beating her before brutally stabbing her and Madison, who was in bed with her. So this was something that he had been thinking about for a while. He was going to be up there for an extended period of time. Unfortunately for Zanna, while Brian's up there, she starts to hear things. I don't know exactly. We may never know. She may have yelled upstairs to say, hey, what's going on? Because she was waiting for DoorDash. But somehow, some way, Brian comes down the stairs. Maybe he's leaving. I don't know if he was leaving. Personally, I think he might have heard her and said, oh man, I got to go downstairs. And when he does, he encounters Zanna, and there's a brief struggle and he kills her. And unfortunately, because now he knows Ethan's in the room sleeping still, he kills Ethan while he's in bed. Ethan doesn't even get out of bed at any point. He brutally stabs him as well. And the way they solved this case is pretty impressive. There were mistakes made, but detectives still had to put it together. So we talked about Brian going upstairs, beating Kaylee, stabbing both Kaylee and Madison, And then he's heading downstairs. And when he does, he leaves the knife sheath in the bed right on top of Madison. And there's one male DNA sample on that sheath, which law enforcement's able to obtain. And then later, and we've talked about this briefly, later when law enforcement starts to hone in on him based on all the evidence they have surrounding him, GPS pings and video surveillance and all that good stuff, they seize his garbage, which was put out on the street. And at that point, it's free reign. We've talked about this before. You have no expectation of privacy when your property is on the sidewalk. That's a public area. They pull the trash. They get a Q-tip out of the trash can. And from that, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong in the comments, they find DNA on that Q-tip that matches or is a familial match to Brian Koberger. Now, it may have been his father's Q-tip. That's the one thing I'm not 100% sure in. But either way, they realize very quickly that the DNA found on that Q-tip matches the DNA found on the knife sheath. And then from there, they see that he used an Amazon gift card, again, to try to, you know, cover up his tracks. And you have all this eyewitness testimony that's coming in where you have the people who survived say they saw this man with these brushy or bushy eyebrows. And it all kind of ties together. And like you just said at the top of this, Brian went into this looking for holes. He was looking for flaws in the investigation, because a lot of times where you may have a guilty person, but because of the investigation behind it, it leaves more questions than answers. And that can rise to the level of reasonable doubt. So Brian knew he did this, but he was hoping that law enforcement screwed the case up. He was hoping that they didn't dot their I's, that they didn't cross their T's, and he got some people who didn't know what they were doing, and he would be able to beat it in a court of law. He realized quickly, well, not quickly, that that wasn't going to be the case. I'm sure his attorneys were telling him, you're not going to beat this. You're going to get put to death. This is your only outcome. So, yeah, that's where we are, and there's some other things I want to talk about as well, but it was a great job by law enforcement.
I guess that I have the question of, why did he attack Zanna and Ethan if his target was Kaylee, but then leave that other roommate alive when she saw him kind of creeping out? Like, why was that decision made? Was he just trying to get out?
Well, you just said it. You just said what it is. I don't believe he saw her. The door was only slightly ajar.
They seemed to think he did, yeah.
Well,
so
we'll never know, but yeah. My guess, based on, and we talked about this when we covered it, there was like a neon light in the hallway. So it would allow that light, it was just a small dim light, it would allow that light to bounce off of Brian's face, but she was in the room. So if you think about this, you just killed four people. You're in this house, this is not going as planned. You didn't plan on killing four people, you planned on killing one. All these other things that happened are happening because of what's unfolding in the moment. So not only do you have this tunnel vision of what you just did, right? You've been thinking about it for months. By the way, they had him driving by that location for months leading up to this. So this is not something that was an impulsive move. He had been thinking about this and manifesting this for months, maybe years, maybe not these specific people, but this is something that's been going through his mind for a long time. So finally he does it and it doesn't go to plan. And now he's trying to get out of there and he's probably going at a fast pace and he misses the person who's inside the dark room looking out at him. And I'm going to just say this, and I may get shit for it. I don't care. The people who are still saying at this point, oh man, I really wish this went to trial because I wanted to see those victims talk because I think there's something up with them. Shame on you.
Y'all are weird.
Shame on you, because that's not what happened. Y'all are weird. Yeah. They had nothing to do with this. They are victims just like the people who passed away.
I think this is a dying on the hill kind of thing because they were so vocal about these other two roommates being involved. They made blog posts. They went on Reddit. People were saying this over and over again. And I think now that it's like, okay, you know, he's confessed and there's really no doubt here. They just need to die on the hill because it's easier than admitting they were wrong and assholes and that they targeted these two girls who not only went through something horrific that night and will live forever with survivor's guilt, but who lost their friends.
Right.
And now who had to suffer through an online attack from people who don't know their asses from their elbows. So I think they're just dying on the hill now, because at this point, if you're still saying this and you're still focusing on this when the person who is 100% responsible has admitted and confessed to it, y'all are weird and enough is enough. You just got to stop.
I think we got to be very specific here, because I don't have an issue with you questioning everything before this new outcome here. We don't know what happened. I'm the devil's advocate guy, right? Everyone's a suspect.
We do not support the people that reached out to these girls and harassed them.
I didn't even know about that. What I'm saying is it's okay to question it before we have the facts of the case. But when the guy who it's very obvious did this comes out and admits that he did it to the point where he's not even going to go to trial because he knows what's going to happen, it's time to give it up. It's time to give it up. And that's not what we're here for today, but I wanted to put it out there because I still see people online saying, damn, I really wish this would have went to trial because I would love to hear what these victims had. I would love to see them on the stand. No, we actually wouldn't. This guy admitted to it. We don't want to re-traumatize them by making them go on a stand and talk about it. If it had to happen, sure. To get the guy, you do what you have to do. But this scumbag doesn't deserve that at this point. He's decided he's too much of a coward to face the death penalty. Mm-hmm. He can kill. And people didn't like when I put this on Twitter. Oh, he's a coward because he's not tying up the court system. No, he's a coward because he killed four innocent people, but is too scared to be killed himself. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's an interesting take. He doesn't want to tie up the court system.
There are people saying he's admitting to it. He's going to be behind bars. Well, What's cowardly about it?
That's not because he's caring about tying up the court system.
No, it's self-preservation.
But yeah, honestly.
He's scared to die.
For those people who are like, oh, I really wanted a trial. Yeah, I want to talk about that. And let's take a quick break and we'll talk about that when we come back. Okay, let's talk about something that's seriously changing the game for hair care. OneSkin's OS1 Hair Scalp Serum. And if you're already familiar with OneSkin, you know they're all about targeting aging at the cellular level. I have raved about OneSkin's eye cream, their face serum, and I've been using OS1 Hair for a few months now, and honestly, I'm impressed, which doesn't surprise me because I've been very, very happy with their other products. But this is more than just a product that makes your hair look good. It's actually been shown to help with age-related thinning and loss starting from the scalp. My scalp feels healthier, my hair looks fuller, and I've even noticed new growth around the hairline. You know, those little baby hairs that mean something's working? Yeah, they're definitely showing up. So the reviews from other users have been just as amazing. One person said, quote, I've tried everything for hair growth, and finally I'm getting a response from my hair, end quote. Another said, quote, my scalp has never felt this healthy, end quote. And OneSkin has the clinical study data to back it all up. After just 6 months, participants had significantly thicker, denser hair. So if you're new to OneSkin, they're the world's first skin longevity company founded by a team of women PhDs, and every product they create is backed by science and clinical trials. Like I said, I've loved their skincare line, and now their hair serum is officially part of my routine too. And I don't know if Derek's been using OneSkin's products. I think he should be using them.
I don't know if that's a compliment or an insult, but we'll
go with
it.
It's just me telling you, I want you to look your best for as long as possible.
I mean, keep it up. I'm going to have a poll put up in the comments to say whose skin looks better.
Okay, I would invite you to do that.
Okay.
But
well, people are going to do it now anyways.
I know they are.
So get ready for it.
But you want to go ahead and tell them how they can check out OneSkin for themselves?
Yeah, as you mentioned, OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. For a limited time, you can try OneSkin with 15% off using code CWN at OneSkin.co. That's 15% off at OneSkin.co with code CWN. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show by letting them know that we sent you. We would greatly appreciate it. Again, go check it out at OneSkin.co. Use code CWN.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
All right, we're back. So yeah, those people saying, oh, they wish there was a trial. You're not the only one. You know who else wishes there was a trial?
Yes.
Kaylee's family.
Yep.
Kaylee's family, because they're not happy about this plea deal.
And I think some of the other victims' families have spoken out as well.
Yeah. Well, specifically Kaylee's family, they're like, you know, well, he beat her to death. He did these horrible things. Like, there's no motive. There's no reason. There's never a reason to do this. And now this guy gets to make a deal for his life. Our daughter didn't get to make a deal for her life. And we would have liked to see him go to trial. And we would have liked to see him on death row. And I agree. Like, if only criminals could be self-aware and compassionate enough to say, yeah, I did it. And like, give me my medicine. I deserve the death penalty because I did this. But that's not how it works. So yeah, you're not the only one that wants a trial. A lot of these victims' families also want a trial. And I have always said this, and I think Derek has too. I think that the law enforcement should consult with the victims' families before they decide to make deals like this.
Well, it'd be the prosecution. It's right out of law enforcement's hand at this point.
Yes.
But I agree.
Law enforcement, the prosecution, you know, the law and order side of things.
Yeah. No, they're the ones, the shot callers. It's the AG's office, the attorney's office. They're making that decision.
They should be consulting with these family members because these family members lost their children. And now what they want is to gain some sort of righteous justice for what happened. They deserve to have that. And we all know if Brian Koberger had gone to trial, he'd be on death row. So
more than likely,
that's what they wanted.
There is something to be said for the fact that there are people who go to trial and they're guilty, but they get off on a technicality. So
I don't see that happening here. No, there's literally nobody else who could have done it. It's absolutely ridiculous.
No, there was an overwhelming amount of evidence in this case, but there are people out there. Just go look online who believe this guy is innocent.
Yeah, well, they're dumb.
And so if you get the right jury, and you poke holes in some of the investigators that work the case, you never know. So I understand the argument of, hey, listen, we can guarantee that this guy dies in a prison. If we go to trial, it's a high probability we're going to get him. But there's always a chance he walks. And what if that happens? We have a chance to tie it up right now. I'm cool with that. But like you said, we should have consulted with the family because they were hearing about it just like everybody else was.
Yes,
how do they hear about it when everybody else hears about it? Or they may have heard about it a couple hours beforehand. That's not enough. Now, the only pushback I'll give, specifically with Kaylee's dad, and I completely support him and understand where he's coming from. We know that he has spoken to law enforcement before this all happened. They told him stuff and he went out and disclosed it to the media. So they may have been more apprehensive to talk to him about it, which I can understand. But overall, I'm in complete agreement with you and everybody else who's saying there should have been more required. He should have told us what exactly happened, word for word, chronological order. He should have had to write it all down. He should have given us the reason why, and he should have told us where the murder weapon is. Does it matter at this point for us? No, he's going to be in prison for the rest of his life, but it matters to the families. They deserve those answers. And that's what this is all about. We can't bring the victims back, but the family members have to live with this for the rest of their life. And now they have to live with these unanswered questions. And that's just not right.
And like I said, there is evidence that may have come out at trial. There's documents that have been sealed by the court until after the July 23rd sentencing hearing, and a gag order is in place for all attorneys in the case. So those documents that are kind of sealed at this point, they include a witness list, a list of exhibits, an analysis of the evidence, request for additional discovery, filings about mitigating factors, and various unsuccessful defense motions that sought to introduce alternative suspects, among other things. So, you know, as of now, those things are under lock and key, but you may be able to submit a FOIA request for those things after July 23rd. I guess it's all going to depend.
I'm sure people will be.
Yeah, I think it's all going to depend on, you know, what the decisions are and what the judge decides to do. But if they do unseal those things, then yes, you may be able to submit a FOIA request and get your hands on that stuff. But it's still not going to tell us what his motive is. He's going to keep that very close to the chest because it gives him
power.
Power and
right.
The ability to continue torturing the family members and loved ones of his victims. And he's a piece of shit. I hope he lives in misery every single day for the rest of his life. Unfortunately, I don't think he will.
Well, he's going to a really prison.
Yeah, he is, for sure.
So, and it's, that was, he was no pun intended, but it's like there's poop smeared on the walls and it's pretty bad.
But he's a monster, so he might be right at home. I don't know.
Listen, we can speculate a little bit, okay? Because we know that this wasn't just some random act of violence. He didn't just pick out this house that night and decide to do this. He had been casing this joint for a long time. So my guess would be at some point he saw Kaylee on campus or maybe tried to hit her up on social media, something. But he developed an obsession with her, and he'd probably been watching her for months. Maybe there was a brief interaction at one point where he said hello or whatever, and because she was tied up or she wasn't interested, she didn't give him the time of day, and it's something that stuck with him. And we know this because, again, he didn't just case the joint that night. He had been going by this residence 4 months in advance. So this was something that he had been thinking about for a very long time. So there were some things that didn't work out exactly according to plan as far as what Brian had intended. And I think the reason 4 people were killed instead of 1 was because of just the circumstances that unfolded while he was in there. But I do think the intention was just to kill Kaylee and then to get out of there. And we know that because if you're going into a house and your plan is to kill everyone, and I don't want to be crass here, but if you're going to make sure that you cover your bases and make sure someone doesn't sneak up behind you, you're going to kill people on your way up. You're not going to go to the top floor and work your way down because you could run into someone that sees you while you're going up. So I think the intention was to go upstairs. I don't even think he looked in the other rooms. And then unfortunately, based on the noises that were being heard, other people woke up, started to, you know, realize something was going on. We know the other tenant who survived heard something. So it's very possible that Xana heard something as well. And maybe she calls out, "Hey, Kaylee, Madison, what's going on up there?"
Yeah.
Now he knows he's going to have to walk by her. And then all of this unfolds. But this is probably a stalking harassment situation. It doesn't seem like there's any paper trail where Kaylee had reported being stalked by this individual. So it was probably from afar. But he was out there monitoring what she was doing. There's probably digital evidence to support him looking at her social media. And this is when he decided to do it. So I would love to hear him say it, though.
There's a forensic psychiatrist, Carol Lieberman, and she said she believes that Kaylee and Madison, like, they looked like some blonde cheerleader that Brian Koberger had been in love with. It was like his first love. When he was younger, and he got rejected by this girl, and then so they kind of look like this girl, and so he was taking out his rage and anger on Kaylee and Madison because of their resemblance. So maybe, yeah, he spotted them, or he spotted Kaylee, and he was like, "Oh, I'm gonna."
Yep. She reminded him of someone.
Out. Yeah, and then that was it. And then he fixated from then. He's crazy. I mean, he's obviously crazy.
I mean, he took a selfie after the murders. That selfie. Now we know he kills him, takes the selfie, and then talks to his dad for like 30-something minutes on the phone. Which, by the way, if you want to talk about suspicious, we're talking about the people inside the house.
Yeah.
What's up with the parents?
I know.
How much did they know? Right? How much? I mean, that's a question I really have at this point. How much do we know that they knew? These are things that they didn't bring charges against them, but it makes me think of Brian Laundrie. Not gonna lie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know how I'm
not gonna lie to you.
You know how I feel
about
feel
the same vibe.
Roberta Laundrie, yeah, but I kind of agree. They definitely knew that something was off with their son, and something is off with him. And the fact that the way he beat Kaylee, that suggests rage. That suggests anger. That's personal.
100%.
So I think that there might be something to it, that she triggered something and reminded him of somebody who hurt him a long time ago, and he had all these years of pent-up rage, and she happened to be the target for it because the person who was actually the person who did it to him wasn't available. So, yeah.
No, it's a crazy case. My 3 main takeaways, I'll start with the positive. Great job by law enforcement. Whenever you have a case that's so airtight that the defendant, who has nothing but time, decides, "I'm not even going to go to trial," that tells you did a great job. Everyone involved did an amazing job. They dotted their I's, they crossed their T's forensically, physically. All the evidence was preserved properly. They documented everything according to policy and procedure, because if there were any mistakes, the defense would have jumped on that. And they tried for years and couldn't find anything. So first off, got to give credit where credit is due. Great job by law enforcement. They got the guy, they got him quickly, and they prevented him from doing this to anybody else in the future. The next part of this would be the victims. Yes, we got the guy. There's no justice for them. Even if he went to trial and was found guilty and got the death penalty, there's still no justice.
It doesn't fix anything. Yeah.
It's never going to be okay. And then finally, we talk about deals. That's going to be the other storyline here. We have to consult the families involved.
I mean, we don't have to, but it would be ideal, wouldn't it?
We have to. We need to. There has to be a human element to this. Yes, there's the laws. Yes, the probability of him getting out wasn't high, but still they wanted the guarantee. I get all that. But you got to consult with the family, if for no other reason, to let them feel like they're part of it. They may not agree, but to at least let them feel like they're not just the outsiders looking in, because they're not. They're directly affected by this. And they deserved a seat at that table to make that decision. And they weren't granted that. And that's unfortunate, because I do think if they had had the opportunity to speak, maybe there would have been some pushback and maybe prosecution would have said, hey, listen, the only way we can get this deal done is if he tells us the why, or, you know, where the knife is, whatever it might be. Give us a little bit more. The family needs that. And then everyone would have been okay with it.
I will say, I did just look up the girl, the cheerleader who rejected him.
Looks like him. Looks like Kaylee.
She looks a lot like Kaylee.
Yep.
And apparently, you know, when he was younger, he was kind of like chubby, he had low self-esteem. And, you know, he would try to get in with the popular girls and they would kind of just be mean to him, which is like, oh, we feel bad for him. No, I don't. Because that's middle school. That's high school. Everybody's been bullied. Everybody's been through it. I mean, I don't have the best memories of middle school or high school either.
We've all been turned down. I know I have. We've all been turned down. It happens.
I mean, not even turned down, just like you're just walking through the hall and people are like, stupid four-eyed frizzy haired girl.
A cool kid.
Yeah, I'm sure you were, but listen, I wasn't, but I'm not killing anyone. Not like, I'm gonna find the people who resemble people I went to high school with and get them. Like, he's not right in his head.
He's right where he needs to be.
He's right where he needs to be, and he should have been there for longer than this.
Well, he won't hurt anybody else. That we can promise.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, I hope that he enjoys himself in prison, because I'm sure there's going to be many. We talk about code, right? We talk about the other prisoners that are going to be there for life. And he just better have his head on a swivel. That's all I'm saying. Because a lot of those prisoners have daughters and sons as well. And they don't like harm to kids. You know, there's a code there. Again, these are some of the most dangerous people in the world. But they don't like when children get hurt. And so they take that personal. And if they got nothing but time, they may decide to take an interest in Brian in a few different ways.
And listen, even Jennifer Coffendager, you know, she's the retired FBI agent. She's always on the news show. She was like, yeah, I think Brian Cobra is probably like an incel. And it's like, yeah, he is, because it doesn't matter. Like, you are not entitled to anybody liking you back. Okay. So like, you could fall in love with a girl when you're 14 and yeah, you hope that she's nice to you and you hope that she like returns your advances. No one is entitled to like you back. People have autonomy. They have free will. They have free choice. And people like Brian Koberger don't want women to have free will or free choice. They just want to look at one and be like, oh, Pikachu, I choose you. You're mine now. And Pikachu doesn't have a choice whether he goes in the Pokeball. But these girls have a choice of whether or not they're your girlfriend, dude. So you're a loser.
I can't believe you made a Pokemon analogy, but.
Gotta catch them all. So what I'm saying is, people like these incels, this is the incel mindset. It's like, how dare this girl have free will? How dare she turn me down? Maybe she just doesn't like you, dude. You don't know. You don't know what's going on. But nobody's entitled to be nice to you. Nobody's entitled to like you back. Nobody's entitled to be your girlfriend or boyfriend. And this is where that control aspect comes in. And that's why he's going to keep all of his personal feelings very close to his chest, because he has still some control. He still has some strings he can pull. And it's sick. And I'm not saying I hope he dies in prison, because that would be too quick and too easy.
Well, he's going to die in prison at some point.
I hope that they beat the shit out of him every single day.
He's not going to have a good time there. I can tell you that much. One final thing to kind of transition this to how we can protect ourselves, how we can learn from this experience that we've all, this story that's unfolded over the last couple of years. The way that Brian gained entry to this building was through the sliding glass door. Couple things here, and I do it at my own home. Let me tell you right now, the sliding doors, they're amazing. I have them on my house. They're a huge vulnerable point for your house, even if it's locked. It doesn't seem like it was locked here, but there's a couple things you need to do, and it's like a $30 purchase. First off, make sure your door's locked, but then go on Amazon.
It's the bar, right?
And buy the bar.
Yeah, I have the bar. Buy the bar. Too.
You can, there's, or take a piece of 2x4 and put it in the door at night, because that door being locked really doesn't give you much protection. So you need to put that bar there. And the bar, if you guys haven't seen it before, it's a really simple thing, but it's effective, because you can put it at the bottom of the door or right in the middle where it just kind of drops down. But even if the suspect breaks out the window, they're not going to be able, unless they break out the whole window, they're not going to be able to lift that bar out of its place to open the sliding glass door. So if you have a sliding glass door and you don't have this bar, pause this audio, pause this video, go on Amazon right now. It's well worth the investment. It's like $20 to $30. You can buy them on Amazon, or you can buy them at Home Depot or Lowe's. Pick one up, because that is a huge access point for criminals who are looking to gain access to your property. That was the only thing I had. Anything else from you?
Nope. That's it.
All right, guys, we appreciate you being here. We're thinking about all the families involved with this. We know this isn't the optimal outcome. There is no perfect situation, but we're thinking about them in this time. And I'm sure as they process all of this, I hope that they're able to turn this negative into a positive and go out there and speak about this process and what they went through, so we can make improvements to the justice system going forward for future victims and their families. So we're thinking of them. We're thinking of you. We want everyone to stay safe out there. We'll see you later this week for a new series. Are we telling them with a series or no?
Do you want to?
I mean, you tell me. I think we should. Let's do it.
You want to do it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do it.
No, you hit it. You tell them. You're the storyteller. Go ahead.
You're the one that wants to tell them. So
we're like fighting over it.
So I just, I obviously, the whole Titan submersible thing is so interesting to both me and Derek. And I just watched the Netflix documentary about it, which told me, like, it was worse than we even initially thought. And so all this stuff came out, and I said, I want to do a deep dive on this
and really get
to the bottom of it. And he was like, yes, this is right up my alley. I love this stuff. I was tracking it
when it was happening. Me too. It's pretty crazy. Yeah. So we're going to cover that. Everyone stay safe out there. We'll see you later this week on audio on Friday, YouTube on Sunday. Have a good night. Take care. Be safe.
Bye.
What if every student had a tutor and personalized learning was available to everyone? What if every family had a financial guide and their investments made for an optimistic future? What if every doctor could diagnose you in seconds and healthcare visits felt more personal? What if your business never slept and every customer's shopping experience felt like it was designed especially for them? It can with Agentforce, the powerful AI from Salesforce.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.